With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Good morning, everybody. We are fresh off a holiday weekend.
And then before that, we are fresh off another trip. And then before that, we are fresh off another trip.
We've been traveling a lot these days.
We're waxed. We're vaxxed.
Whoop.
We're ready to drive around Southern California.
I don't really understand where the waxed part of
it's
vaxxed
comes from.
It's
just kind of funny. Just imagine if you had your pubic hair waxed and then you're like...
imagine... like 7 years ago when I used to wax my pubic hair.
Yeah, I mean, I, you know, long time caller, first time waxer. I think it's a fun turn of phrase.
It's a fun turn of phrase.
That's where it comes from. It's like ready for shot girl summer.
Got it.
Right? Ready to go to the beach.
We're just vaxxed.
So no, the only thing we are is vaxxed.
Maybe there's something else we could say instead of waxed, because it's clearly that's like people look at us and they're like,
why are you saying
you are
you're not waxed? Yeah, you're not waxed.
You're the most hairy.
You're bush out of control, boy.
Maxed and vaxxed.
Maxed and vaxxed. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
Just like max energy.
Schwaxed. That doesn't mean anything.
Nope.
Max energy. But we do have max energy. We're talking about traveling with kids.
Talk
today.
About needing max energy.
Mm-hmm,
traveling with kids.
But yeah, it was a woo-hoo. Holiday weekend. We went down to Newport Beach.
Yep, we had
some friends
in town. What?
It was our first time like going to see friends because they were vaxxed. We were vaxxed.
It's huge.
And, you know, just don't let the kids lick the playground and hopefully it'll be okay.
So that brings us to what we want to talk about today, which is traveling with children, infants and kids. Because we love traveling. It is one of our absolute favorite things. It's what brought Ned and I together. Mm-hmm. For those of you who have heard our like courtship story, our first kiss was like looking at Google Maps.
Yes.
Basically talking about like vacations with our grandparents in, you know, bi-coastal island communities.
We realized both of our grandparents lived in like little islands.
Yeah.
I called my grandparents' house the islands.
And
Ariel called it what?
The island.
The island.
Yeah.
Island. Period.
Because there's many, but they lived on
they
just
lived
the
on
one.
They lived on just one. And it's a big part of our relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, our first ever trip together was like 5 months into dating.
Mm-hmm.
Just up and drove around South Africa for 3 weeks.
That's right.
For the World Cup.
Yeah. And we had to book it. After we had been dating for like 90 days.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Knew they were the one when.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, do you want to come with me to visit my friend Chris in
my
South
eyes,
Africa?
My eyes like lit up. I was
like,
yes, I want to do that. And the fact that we were both working for free, that kind of made it like.
It made it
easy to be like, peace,
easier
guys.
To take 3 weeks off. Yeah.
Back when you could legally hire interns for free.
Probably was never legal, but you know.
Just not as frowned upon.
There hadn't been court cases about it yet.
Mm, yeah, fair enough. I worked for free for a long time.
To be 34. I'm almost 34.
Your birthday is coming up very soon.
My birthday's
soon.
Coming up.
You're going to be 34. Well, this is the period of time in the year when I am 2 years older than Ned.
That's true.
Yeah. So I'm your older woman.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
It was like very
a cougar.
Were you cougaring me?
I'm pretty sure I'm not cougaring you.
Well, not now. I'm a cougar and I'm a leopard.
Are you?
No, that's not
I
what
think
they
you
call
can take care
it.
Of
I'm
yourself.
A leopard daddy.
I think you can take care of yourself.
Yeah.
But let's get
true.
Back to the a task at hand here.
I don't know. I'm kind of having fun talking about cougars.
Are you? Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of cougars, we went to the zoo.
That's true. That's true. We went to the San Diego Zoo.
Yep.
The prior weekend.
It's been great.
Saw a polar bear swimming up close.
Oh my gosh. Highlight of my weekend was that funny polar bear. When Ned and I were first thinking about kids, Ned did not want, he wasn't ready for kids. And I was. I mean, back to the 2 years older situation.
Yeah.
And also, you
right.
know, when women we were 20, have a like a biological clock.
Yes.
That lives in their uterus. I don't know if everybody knows this, but there is an actual clock that the doctor checks up until you're 35.
Oh,
and after
really?
After you're 35, then they actually take it out and they say, like, you can no longer have children. No, I'm totally joking. Ned's looking at me like I'm saying something real.
I mean, I knew there wasn't a minute hand and a second hand, but I was like, oh, is it like a hormone level?
No, no, this does not exist.
You're like 33 and you're like, I have the uterus of a 26-year-old.
You guys have heard me talk about this. I think that that women can have kids until they are as old as they want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is no limit. It is just what you feel that your body is ready for.
Yeah.
You know, I have many friends and acquaintances who have had kids after 35, after, you know, they're 40 years old.
Yeah, especially modern medicine.
Exactly.
Making it safer.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when we were 22 and you were 2 years older than me, I was like, hot. Ariel is worldly. She's experienced. She's really cool.
And what is it now?
Well, now it's still hot, but also there's this like added like pressure about, you know, babies and like,
right.
That sort of thing of, you know, the biological clock.
For sure.
Which is neither here nor there. But I think when we are 30... What if I was not as ready to have kids?
Then well, you weren't ready to have kids when you were 30.
Yeah, I was, moderately, you know, kind of getting on board slowly.
Part of the reason why you weren't ready to have kids was because you didn't think that we would be able to travel.
I did. I figured we had to get all of our 20s stuff in while we got it.
Ned had this bucket list of places that he wanted to go.
Yeah.
And I was like, babe, we have... like it may be 2 years before we're going to start having kids. We cannot travel to every single country in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like you got to understand that you can travel with children. And you didn't believe me.
I didn't. I thought an international trip with a toddler would be a disaster. And you know what? It turns out it wasn't that bad.
No.
We've done what?
Multiple international trips
with kids.
With
yeah,
kids.
I well, guess we haven't done it with Finn yet.
Finn, our sweet pandemic baby.
Mm-hmm.
But with Wes, we have been all over the place. What was our first big trip with Wes? Probably London and Paris, right?
I think so.
He was under a year old. We traveled with my mom.
Was he really under a year
yeah,
old?
It could
that
because,
was like the 10-month mark? Yeah, it was like February.
Yeah, it was like February.
Wow.
Yeah. We went on how long was that flight? It was like 7 hours or something like that.
I mean, from LA. I think it's a bit more. I think it's more like 10 hours.
Yeah, it was a long flight.
But yeah, let's talk about a long international flight with a toddler or an infant.
Yeah.
What
wow.
do you do?
Well, okay, so.
Our tip number one.
Tip number one, wear them.
Wear them.
Wear them.
And book it when it's nighttime. You imagine, you're going to have this horrible night where they're going to be up all the time and they're not going to get sleep and they're going to be crying and waking up everyone on the plane. And that was sort of true. Yeah, it's sort of true. Mm-hmm. But it's way easier to deal with infants when they're sleeping mm-hmm. rather than when they're awake and getting bored on the plane.
Yeah.
I think.
I would tend
you
to
know,
agree.
You have a little bit of tears here and there as you're trying to calm them down, but they just nap on your chest.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like with travel days, normally an international travel day or even just like a long domestic travel day, the day itself is kind of a wash, you know?
Right.
And so if you're trying to schedule around like nap times and things like that, There's inevitably going to be delays, and you know, you're not going to get the nap that you want because you're on the go,
mm-hmm.
right? And so when you finally get on the plane and you're thinking that you've had this grand plan to have like a fully rested child on the plane so that they can like play mm-hmm. and you know like be a sweet human being. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, you're putting too much pressure on yourself. Just schedule it during a nap time or during the nighttime.
Yeah.
You know?
And the real tricky thing is once they wake up from the night and it's an international flight, then sometimes there's like a whole like 3 more hours that they have to like wake up and kind of get going.
Right.
Get entertained. But, you know, lots of baby books, if they're a mm-hmm. little bit older, mm-hmm. you know, that might be a time where you want to bend your normal screen time rules to kind of help get through the flight. But we're kind of a policy of like, you know, that's just, we just got to get through it.
Yeah.
It's
when it comes to traveling, that is when we allow screens the most.
Yeah.
Is during like long car rides. We have mm-hmm. An iPad that we call Red Game because mm-hmm. it has a foam case around it that is bright red, and so Wes calls it his Red Game.
Can we talk about the scourge that is Blippi for a moment?
Oh my goodness!
If anyone here listening is a parent, you may have heard of this man, very entertaining guy, you know, very just killing the YouTube game as a fellow creator. I can appreciate it and respect it. As a parent,
he's
when I see
it.
My kid understanding what BLIPPI like and subscribe.
Oh my goodness.
Spells.
Wes said that in the bath the other night. Yeah. He goes, BLIPPI. And I was like,
because
sorry,
the man
what?
Spells his name at the end of every episode.
It's genius.
So parents can't
it's actually
just be
genius.
Like, we're not going to turn on BLIPPI today.
And they're like, Blippi!
And they're like, Blippi? Blippi? I mean, he's fine. He's actually not super terrible for kids. I think it's actually does educational
a great program.
Things.
You don't like it because your friend Danny doesn't like it.
That's true. It is kind of a fun thing that we like to bash
together. He finds it sort of, I don't know, annoying. But, you know, it is a child's program, so...
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, your typical content.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I think it's objectively like a little annoying for adults, but, you know, it's also, they learn stuff.
They do learn stuff, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, Wes learned all about recycling the other day.
Right.
But Red Game is just an iPad that we have disabled everything on because Wes knows how to use all the buttons on everything. I feel like that's just technology and kids. You know, you could he can find all sorts of different things on my phone. You know, we also have like the Disney Plus app, but the iPad doesn't have internet, and so it's just like the downloaded content that we have.
That's one way we can control it. So he's not suddenly like you're hearing. What are you watching? Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's like a very tightly held you know, it's got games mm-hmm. and it has like a few programs that mm-hmm. he can watch on Disney Plus. But he has discovered YouTube Kids, which
I'm glad they do make YouTube funny. Kids because he very quickly learned how to click thumbnails and advance to future episodes. If he doesn't like it, he'll just move on to the next one.
It's unreal.
Just like all of us.
I know. It's so intuitive.
And by the way, if you're watching on YouTube, keep watching to the end because at the end we're going to do something.
Let's talk about that trip to London and Paris.
Yes.
So what are some things that you remember about that trip that we did well?
Well... We brought your mom.
Mm-hmm.
That was huge.
Helpful. So it was actually a work trip.
Definitely recommend.
It was a work trip for us.
Yeah.
Which, if we hadn't brought my mom, it would not have been possible for us to work. Because we had to like do
You're employed by London and Paris.
Yes, this is what, by the tourism.
London and Paris Tourism Board.
Yeah.
To encourage people to travel to London, Paris.
Yeah, but we like had to go to certain places and there were certain like evening commitments that we had that we couldn't bring kids to.
Make it look natural. Mm-hmm. Oh, we just stumbled into this.
Amazing. Look at this amazing restaurant. Oh, it's so wonderful. Yeah.
But it was actually very cool.
It was fantastic. It was fantastic.
All these awesome experiences for us.
Oh, my gosh.
We got to do graffiti in the Banksy tunnels.
Yeah.
Leak Street tunnels.
Like, you can't bring an infant to,
No.
a spray painting frenzy.
The thing that you have to be ready for the most is dealing with the time difference.
Yes.
Because even if you're going like one or two time zones, mm-hmm. you know, say you're going East Coast, West Coast in the USA, like that, it really can mess with their
It really,
their
really
cycles.
Does. When we were traveling to New York like four or five times a year, we would just keep Wes on LA time.
Yeah.
Because it just wasn't worth it to change the time zone for him.
So we put him to bed at 9:30 at mm-hmm. night, New York time. Mm-hmm. And then he would sleep until 6:30 New York time.
No, he often slept later.
He often would sleep later, but sometimes we like would go to bed later thinking that he was going to sleep till, I don't know, 10 New York time.
Now, this is supposed to be a success story.
Oh, it is?
Not like I'm encouraging people to keep them on their original time.
Well, sure. I think that is better because there's no way we would have gotten him to go to sleep at 6 p.m.
No,
New York time.
No, absolutely not.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah,
But here's where I'm going with this, Ariel, is make sure, put blackout curtains on the room.
That's huge.
That's why he was waking up. You get blasted with that beautiful Manhattan sunlight.
That's a big one. That's a really big one. We discovered this, these like blackout curtains that you could like stick onto windows mm-hmm. or doors for that matter. Like we were in San Diego recently, and for some unknown reason, they had windowed doors that had no...
The doors had like full frosted glass on them facing the sunrise, and we're like, in what world do I want my bedroom door to be fully frosted glass?
Yeah, with no shade, you know? And so both the kids were waking up with the sun every day.
You could see someone's silhouette like moving behind the bedroom.
Yeah, I remember.
It's a little kinky.
Oh, I only saw Wes, so.
Yeah, that wasn't, a little less so.
Yes.
I saw you at one point, and I was like, ooh.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay, fair enough.
But yeah, you got to watch out where your shadows are.
But yeah, so these blackout curtains, they make them in like a pretty big size, but they fold down really small. And we brought these to Australia with us too. Mm-hmm. And those were, they were super useful because similar thing, frosted glass, like door to the room. And you're like, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
You know, like...
The toilets flush backwards and the doors are see-through? What gives?
But that... So Australia, when we went to Australia and Singapore mm-hmm. with Wes, we did... Well, I mean, obviously, we had to switch him over to Australia time because we were there for like 2 weeks or 3 weeks or something like that.
Yeah.
And
they're pretty adaptable. I mean, after mm-hmm. a couple days of being upset, just like, you know... Every single human that travels in 12-hour times difference.
It's called jet lag. Yeah,
we all felt awful too. It's like they just kind of hop on board and are like normalized to the new time zone.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool to see.
Yeah. You just move their naps around a little bit to, you know, make them tired at different times. Mm-hmm. And yes, it is not the most joyful few days when you're switching them over to a different time zone, because they're cranky, you're cranky, but it's going to be fine. And they do switch over, you know, they're humans just like the rest of us, and we're all adaptable, and we sleep when it's nighttime and we are awake during the daytime. I mean, most of us. I know that Becky, for one person that I know who is awake during the night.
Oh yeah, how late does she stay up?
Oh, she just has insomnia.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah,
I'm sorry for her.
Eugene too.
Yeah,
we do not have insomnia.
No,
Ned
we
and
sleep
I,
pretty well.
The second the sun goes down, we're like, I'm sleepy.
Parents go to bed at 9:30. I can sometimes I will be awake a little bit. I think if there's something super stressful going on, I'll like be awake a little bit, but it's not, I wouldn't call it insomnia if I've never stayed
like,
awake past midnight or one.
You have like a restless mind, which journaling helps.
Journaling does help. I've noticed things that do not help me go to sleep is if I have ice cream too late before bed.
You and our child, hun.
Yeah.
Like,
so like a big old download of sugar into
I swear,
my belly hole.
As Wes gets like just like older and older and older, I see how you and he are so similar in so many ways. Just like if you give Wes even a tiny bit of sugar, he is off the walls.
You really can see it. It's like,
and it is the same thing with you.
You're tracking his glucose graph as it just spikes up.
Oh my goodness. It is the same thing with Ned. Like you give this man sugar, like, you know, actual sugar, like ice cream or candy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about you right now.
No, I know.
And you are off the wall.
I'm off the wall.
It's like your body reacts in this in this way. Like it doesn't happen to me.
Let's go.
That doesn't happen to me. My body just sort of is like, oh, sugar, we like this. This is nice. And your body's like, oh my God!
Sugar!
Oh, Rachel has something to say. Alcohol.
Oh, alcohol is bad for you. But Rachel, everyone knows that. Do we really need to get into it? But yeah, if you don't know, even though you pass out from drinking, when your body is sleeping from alcohol, say you've had, you know, even one glass of wine can still cause these kind of negative sleep effects.
But let's say three.
Sure. Let's say three. Three is certainly enough to make you be like, I'm tired.
Yeah. You're like, you're tired.
Right?
You brush your teeth and then you're like in bed and you're like,
oh my
I'm
God.
Fast asleep.
Wow, I passed out at 9:30. But while you're sleeping, your brain waves are not doing their normal thing. They're kind of doing like boozy things. And then when the alcohol clears your system, you'll often, does this ever happen to you? You wake up. Like 3, 4 a.m. And that's when you're kind of ready for normal sleep again. But now you don't have much of the night left. So
right.
If you really want to feel well rested, have a strong nighttime routine. Avoid alcohol, caffeine, and sugary things before bed.
And blue light.
And blue light, of course. Go to bed at the same time, wake up at the same time every day. And over time, your body will start to normalize.
How funny.
Drink lots of water.
That we know all of these
so
things.
So great
and yet we
that
do
I can say it, but
them.
We don't do it.
Ned and I do not do these things.
The
we are
thing,
looking at our phones before bed.
Mm-hmm. You know what I've done recently?
What?
I put my phone in the closet.
Well, that's not recent. You've been doing that since we moved into our house three years
that's
ago.
That's true. Yeah, I've been doing this for 3 years. But you know what I want to talk about? Recently, is I put my phone in the closet.
All right, go on. Tell us about your phone in the closet.
Have people, maybe they know that about me, but I think it's like if you avoid you looking at your phone in the place where you go to sleep, then you kind of avoid all those stressful, you know, things.
Absolutely.
Or delightful things.
You have a very healthy sleep habits, I feel.
I try because it doesn't always work out well for me. You can, I feel like you can fall asleep anytime.
I can. I am just a sleeper.
Yeah.
I can sleep anywhere. I can sleep on a bus. I can sleep in a car. I can sleep in any bed.
Do you think when you get older, you're going to have like just buzzsaw, like snoring just going on?
I hope not. But, you know, my snoring won't bother me is all I'm saying.
That's so considerate of you. Yeah.
Really, the question is, do you think I'm going to have buzzsaw snoring?
Oh, I hope not. I'm going to be ribs at
night. I am definitely going to be like my parent, like my mom and my grandfather who fall asleep in like a chair in front of the television.
And the like head back falling asleep, you know, that you can fall asleep anywhere.
Absolutely. Then. I almost did last night when you really wanted to finish like the second episode of that show.
Yeah, you wanted to go to bed.
And I was like falling asleep on the couch.
Oh no.
Well, because I don't like to go to sleep alone. While you're doing something else, like Ned and I are very much like go to sleep together.
Yeah. Because honestly,
and it's not a sex thing. It's just a like we just like going to sleep together.
Maybe a cuddling thing.
Yeah, it's a cuddly thing. But like we brush our teeth together and we talk about our days and then we like climb into bed. Good night, hun. Light off.
And I noticed that if we don't go to sleep together, oftentimes you kind of lose track of time. A little bit easier when you're by yourself. Right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm like if I'm just going to play a little bit of video games. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh no, it's 10:45. What have I done?
Which for anybody else, that would be like, oh, 10:45.
Time for bed.
Like, no biggie. But for us, it's like, I'm only going to get 5 hours of sleep.
I will say that video games are another like sleep trigger for me.
That make you fall asleep or make you not fall asleep?
Make me not fall asleep.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, but sleep trigger sounds like, you know, a trigger that makes you sleep.
I guess that's not a good way to say it. But it's the type of video game. If it's something very like fast reflex kind of like, reactive.
Right now that for you, that would be Smash.
Right. Super Smash Brothers. I've noticed if I play it right, say I play it till 10 and then I try and immediately go to sleep 5 minutes later. No, it takes me a good 20 minutes to like calm down. But The Witcher, which I've also been playing lately, is a, you know, like, man, half the time I'm just riding my little horse going from town to town, just kind of
chatting with people, talking with the townies.
It's like, I'm not even big on the monster fighting, which I guess that gets a little stressful. But so much of the game is just sort of story based and riding your little horse. And it's like, it's a very like kind of calming game and you get into the storylines, you know.
Yeah.
There's this farmer that like got disowned because he was gay. I'm like, dang, that's like a pretty intense storyline.
Yeah.
For a video game, that's pretty cool.
For sure.
I feel bad for him. Okay. And so I'm helping him out.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. Great. Happy to hear it.
Yeah.
I do not participate in Ned's video games, especially the boring ones.
I'm waiting for the RPG that you kind of like get a little invested in, like a movie where you're like, what are we going to do to help this farmer? But it's probably not going to happen. After I had kids, I got way less into the like more story-based ones. Hmm. Miles always makes fun of me because he's like, wait, you say that you played Red Dead Redemption 2, but actually you never got past the first area, the first level? I was like, well, yeah, just kind of walking around in the snow a lot. It's a pretty cool game. And I like it. I learned how to shoot my gun.
Is that the one with the kid?
Oh no, that's God of War.
Oh,
okay. I'm a little farther along in that one, but that's a good game. That's very beautiful.
Huh.
Good story too. But I don't have enough time to sink my teeth into these like deeper story games. You know, you can put like 100 hours into some of these games and have a very like.
Nobody got time for that.
I don't. But as a result, then I just play half an hour of Super Smash Brothers here and there.
Uh-huh.
And then I look back, you know, over a period of years, I've played 100 hours of Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
So, maybe I would be like better off if I had a more like deeper story experience.
Rachel and I were just chatting about how to travel on a plane with two, because so our producer Rachel has two babies, two twins, toddlers now. But she was traveling back and forth to New York solo with two kids.
Whoa.
Now There are two ways to travel on a plane with kids. There, you can wear them. And if your kid is under 2 years old, you do not have to buy a seat for them. But it's pretty much across the board for all airlines. Once your kid is two, you do have to buy a seat for them. And even though it is an added expense, it is often worth it to just buy the seat for them anyway, even if they're under two, because if they are sleeping and you haven't decided to just wear them the whole time, you can pop them in their car seat and you strap that car seat into the extra seat and then they just have their own spot. And it is amazing.
Especially if you're traveling with a partner, because then you can get the whole row of three.
Exactly.
Just kind of lock that down.
Exactly.
Rather than you have a little...
Yeah, and then when your kid is awake, then you can like just have them play in the seat. I mean, it's so nice. But we've also, so once Wes was two and had his own seat, we tried the Stokey Jet Box. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that
thing? Oh yeah, that's a really cool invention.
That was a cool thing. So it is this box that fits under the seat. And so, you know, for takeoff and landing, and then when you are in the air and it's like time for your kid to sleep, nap, or if you're traveling at night, like we like to do, you set it up and the box turns into it turns the seat into a bed. Yeah. For your toddler.
It goes in this space in between the seat and the seat in front, and then it goes, and lifts up and then creates basically extra seat. And then you can put a pad that comes with it on top of it. And now all of a sudden you got yourself an in-flight bed system.
Yeah. I mean, for a small person,
for a small child,
It could not be for an adult,
no.
But I mean, so great. And
but
such
can you imagine three of them in a row with an adult sized mattress? Bam.
I think that's just called,
you got
like
Stokey adult
get,
system.
Get yourself to first class and just get like a lay down bed.
Yeah, I mean, but, I haven't run the numbers, but
maybe
three coach class seats are equal to one first class seat.
I don't know.
Perhaps.
I don't know.
The free champagne might tip it over.
Yeah. Well, we were just talking about sleeping and alcohol, but traveling on an airplane with kids, like, people are going to be doing it a lot more now. We've had a bunch of pandemic babies. You know, flights are getting going again. People are going to travel to see their parents, and they don't know how to travel with kids yet. So, all right, walk me through how you travel with a kid, like getting to the airport.
Here's a big tip: is have like a Russian nesting doll. Have sequential layers of toys that you can unbox as the flight goes on.
That's genius, yeah.
Because it's a long flight and it's tough to keep their minds occupied with the same toy for 2 hours. So you start with your books, say, right? And then you bust out the shaky toy. And then what's that? You're getting bored, child? Well, what do I have here?
Look at these stickers.
A whole other zipper bag full of stickers, and it feels new, it feels exciting, feels fresh.
Yep,
there's a lot to like.
Yeah.
But I mean, first of all, you want to go start to finish. First, you gotta strap everybody in the car. If you're back in the day, we'd probably take a ride share because airport parking is always tricky,
right? Exactly.
You're often just,
but you gotta bring the car seat. So this is something that didn't even occur to me when we were first traveling with Wes, is that if you choose not to travel with your car seat, like on the plane, you're going to need a car seat on the other end.
Yeah.
And
if you ever want to get in a taxi or a ride,
you could be
share,
fully stranded at the airport with no car seat. If you have not thought about that.
Now, there are some it's like Uber, but for parents or whatever, where it's like there are some selections in certain cities, big cities like New York especially, where you can pick a car that will come with a car seat. That's huge.
But they often don't have car seats for infants. I didn't feel super safe with those.
No?
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it.
Okay, well, agree to disagree. I thought they were pretty good. pretty good seats, you know, standard issue.
I would recommend just bringing your own seats. We use the Up a Baby system, and so you just travel with like one of the Up a Baby strollers, and you click that car seat in, and you're good to go.
I guess I'm the one carrying the car seat. That's probably why I'm like, yes, it's awesome. They offer this thing where you can leave the car seat at home. To be a dad in an airport is to be a pack horse. You are lugging around everything.
Absolutely. Well, to be anybody in an airport, you're just lugging your stuff around.
Yeah, that's right. Even if you're 22, you're still got your bag, your thing. And like, if you're a parent, you're like a full-on car seat. Now, here's the thing. Oftentimes, airlines will let you check car seats for free.
That's right. And strollers for free.
And strollers, yeah, car seats check and for strollers. Free. You don't need to pay the extra bag fee. But what you can do, you can slip a couple of clothes into the car seat bag.
Oh, yeah. We have been caught doing this one time. They opened the car seat bag, and they were like, there's other stuff in here. And we were like, yeah, so? And they were like, you're not allowed to have other stuff. We were like, did not know that. All of our other bags are already through the thing, so you're going to have to let it go. And she was like, fine, but don't do it again.
Wow.
You know, but like, you can fit so much in the concave part of that car seat bag. Yeah. Oh my God.
You can fit a whole baby's worth of clothing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, if they check, sorry guys, but it's a great spot to shove a bunch of stuff.
I just like felt like a shock of stress of somebody not allowing a bag on an airplane. And I realized that as much as I've missed traveling, I don't think I've missed airports very much.
Well, we did used to travel with Wes and Bean.
Oh, yeah.
We would travel with the dog and the baby.
Do not recommend.
Oh, my goodness. I remember I was in the airport in Seattle, and we had met in Seattle. This was when you were on tour, and so we had met in Seattle.
Oh, yeah,
and
I was taking
Bean and Wes home,
right?
And so I decided to wear Wes and just check the stroller because I didn't want to fuss with holding Wes and trying to break down the stroller and put it into the bag and gate check it. I just decided I would just go light. But when you're traveling with two people, I do recommend car seat, strap it into the stroller, push the stroller around the concourse, and then gate check the stroller.
Mm-hmm.
But so I was just wearing Wes and Bean, we had him approved so that he could kind of like sit underneath the seat. And so I was taking him to go to the bathroom, and he didn't want to go in that like special pet room. And it was really far away. And so on the way there, he stopped in the middle of the concourse.
Oh, jeez.
And I was like, why are you stopping? Why are you stopping, Bean? This is so silly. There's people everywhere. And he starts to take a poo in the middle of the concourse.
The disrespect.
It was so mortifying, and I had nothing to pick it up with because they have the little baggies in those rooms. So I didn't like bring a bag with me.
Oh, no.
And so I had to like, I had to leave the poop in the middle of the concourse and just like,
oh my God, I do not remember this.
Because you weren't there.
Oh,
it was
my
just me.
Gosh.
And so I had to leave the poop in the middle of the concourse.
No, you didn't.
And I had to run to like the nearest restaurant to grab a napkin.
Oh my God.
And so I run to grab a napkin. I'm wearing the baby.
You're wearing the baby this whole time.
I'm wearing the baby this whole time, and I'm holding the dog who is still pooping.
Oh my God.
He's squeezing it out as I'm dragging him across the concourse. And I'm just leaving a trail of like soggy poos all over their like squeaky floor. And I'm trying to get a napkin. And then I have to go back with the baby. I'm like holding the baby in the ergo. And I'm like, and I've got the dog, you know, like close to me because it's a crowded concourse. Mm-hmm. And I'm like scooping up poop as I go, you know, like leaving a trail of like, you know, poo, because I don't have anything to clean it up with. And then one of the custodians, there's like a man literally standing with his like, you know, like push cart thing, just watching me do this. And I was just so mortified. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I cannot believe that this happened. And the guy looks at me and he's like, it's not the first time this has happened.
He's like,
it's totally fine. Really? You got to do what you got to do, but I'll take care of it.
And bringing a wild animal into an airport led to poop in an unexplained place.
We leave being at home these days. Yeah. After that situation, it was just a bit. That was more than I could handle. Really,
didn't exactly
truly.
Provide you emotional support in that moment.
Like most people are worried about the kid having a blowout, which. Valid concern.
Oh yeah.
You know, bring clothes. That airport bring like three types of extra clothes.
Changing table is not all it's cracked up to be. Mm-mm. Like very cramped.
Are you talking about the one on the airplane?
Yeah, the one on the airplane. They have a little flip down thing.
Yeah, they got the flip down thing. Which watch baby's fingers when you do that thing because that thing can be really dangerous. Yeah, bring two. Extra sets of clothes for the baby and bring an extra set of clothes for yourself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That is something that we did not do the first year. The first year with Wes, we did not bring extra clothes for ourselves because why would you bring extra clothes for yourself? You're not going to shit yourself. Yeah. But guess what? Like the poop gets everywhere. I mean, when we were at a friend's house this weekend, you got poop on you.
That's true.
And thank goodness we had like an entire suitcase in our car.
Yeah, I looked so fresh too. I had on like white sneakers and a white shirt. And I was like, man, I look so good. I'm about going to the beach. And then I had poop on my white shirt. And I was like, oh, man. Yeah. Do you remember the trip coming back from New York? This was February 2020. Arguably like a really bad time to be going to New York. But we didn't know it. We didn't know how bad it was at the time.
Right.
And as we get off the plane, we're like landing in Burbank and Wes like vomits all over me and we're like, oh no.
Oh, no, that was like the middle of the flight.
Okay.
It wasn't like right before we landed. No, because we had to deal with vomit because he vomited multiple times on that flight.
Yeah.
And we had to deal with like the smell and the mess. For another 2 or 3 hours after that.
Mm-hmm. He vomited all over both of us. Yes. So we're like, oh no, we're like piling, like kind of bundling up our t-shirts. I'm like shirt off in the back of the plane like, hey, I'm sorry. And just poor little guy was sleeping on our chest.
I know, I remember.
Yeah, he like must have gotten norovirus on the playground.
In New York. Yeah.
And then, I like was vomiting the next day. And then you were vomiting the next day.
And then our nanny was vomiting the day after that.
Yeah.
It was bad. It was COVID, a really rough.
Because it was really just about the vomiting.
Yeah.
But there's germs floating everywhere. There's germs everywhere.
Germs other than coronavirus germs. Mm-hmm. There's other viruses out there. Mm-hmm. What? Yeah. I know. It's crazy.
Always seems like they get sick on a plane.
Or just when you're traveling.
Yeah. You're just different location out in public. But we're excited, you know, to be traveling again. We haven't dipped our toes into a plane flight quite yet, but I think it'll come this summer. Mm-hmm. We'll try it.
Yeah.
And
we'll be doing. Okay. So what are we going to be doing for traveling on a plane this summer with our kids? I think I'm going to be worried. We have non-vaccinated children. Mm-hmm. So Wes will be wearing a mask the whole time. Mm-hmm. We'll be wearing masks the whole time, obviously. But Finn can't wear a mask yet. So my plan with Finn is to, we won't go the car seat route. I will probably just wear him the whole time.
Yeah, have him real snuggled up
real
in
close
your bosom.
To your chest so that I can like put up the hood of the carrier and just protect him from you know, other people the whole time, I guess.
Yeah. I think we'll try and keep it to shorter flights to start.
Yeah. Or if you're traveling with a car seat, you could put one of those car seat covers over it.
Yeah, that could be good. Well, I'm excited. You know, we'll see. We'll see. It'll be nice to be traveling again. Hopefully these tips helped you out. If you had a question for us, email us at babystepsadvice@gmail.com. Like and subscribe, rate us 5 stars. And hey, check out our cookbook, the Date Night Cookbook. We've got lots of different meals for two or for families or for parties, whether you're single or married AF. It's got a little something. So take a piece of us in your kitchen. Pre-order it today at datenightcookbook.com.
Wee.
And you can be the first to get it before it's out to the general public. September.
Life's a journey.
Take baby steps.